Good evening. I just want to repeat Tim's welcome, a very warm welcome to CCC tonight. We're so pleased that you're here with us, and on what an occasion to celebrate the birth of our King, to celebrate the birth of our Savior. Amen. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son. Let's pray. Father God, You came to earth, and You dwelt among us, Father. You came, You gave up Your position as God, and You came to earth. And You did this because of Your great love for us. It's overwhelming to think that You, God, loved us so much that You would give Your life for us. And that's what we're here to acknowledge, and that's what we're here to celebrate tonight. Father God, as we dig into Your Word, as we spend time just pondering on what You've done, Father, may Your Holy Spirit fill us. And may You convict our hearts. Father, tonight bring the miracle of life. We pray this in Your Son's name. Amen. So tonight we are here to remember and celebrate a baby. My wife and I recently had a baby. So I'm going to be honest, one of the more challenging aspects of my sermon was choosing which pictures, so I just chose them all. And when you look at that, there are a number of words that might come to mind, one of which that has been repeatedly used to describe this baby, as Dee has posted pictures on social media, is this: adorable. He is adorable, right? And I'm biased, but I mean, come on. Now when you look at that, however, adorable, maybe if you're Dee, otherwise maybe not. I looked up adorable is to adore, worthy of being adored. And I looked up adore in the dictionary, and the definition was something like this: to regard with the utmost esteem, to love and respect, to honor. Let me ask you tonight, what is it that you adore? Think about it for a second. What do you adore? I'll give you some examples from the dictionary. Chocolate, movies, theater, my car, my house. My wife made it in there. Thank you. Not my wife, my wife in general. My wife for me. Disclosure, this is not the actual Jesus. It's a picture of him, a painting or an image representative. What about this baby? Do we adore this baby? We opened the service with a song, and in that song we repeated the line, "O come, let us adore him." And we sang a couple of other songs that called for our adoration of this baby. You know, when the word adore was first used, when it was introduced into the English language, it was in the 17th century, and it meant to worship or venerate or honor as deity or divine. It meant to esteem as Lord, to bow down before. It comes from two Latin words that literally mean to pray. To adore is to pray. We don't pray to human beings. We certainly don't pray to chocolate or cars or houses. The only being, the only person we pray to is God. To adore is to worship. With that in mind, I have two questions for you tonight. Should we adore Jesus? And then will you adore Jesus in the original sense of the word, not in the diluted sense in which we now use it? To answer this question and to look at why we should and if we will adore him, we're going to turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 is not often used for a sermon on Christmas, because there is no Mary, mention of Mary, there's no mention of Joseph, there are no sheep, there are no shepherds, there are no wise men, there's no Bethlehem, there's no stable or manger, there's no donkeys. It is just the pure truth of who this baby is that we have come to celebrate and to remember tonight. And so that's what we're going to look at. So turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to John chapter 1. Who is he? Who is this baby that we celebrate tonight? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Word here is Jesus. That's what John is referring to when he says the Word. And he makes these bold claims. He says, the Word was in the beginning. Jesus, the baby that we celebrate, he is eternal. For him to have been in the beginning, he exists outside of time. Before anything was created, he existed. He exists in eternity. It says that he was with God and that he is God. So this baby is the eternal God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is responsible for all of creation. Everything that was made that we know, everything that was made that we don't know, was made through Jesus. Nothing has come into existence that has not been made through Jesus. Think about that for a second. Think about the vastness of the universe. If we had to travel at the speed of light from our galaxy to the next closest galaxy in our universe, it would take us over 1 million years at the speed of light, and that is the next closest galaxy in our universe. And our universe has millions of galaxies that we know of, and I'm sure millions more that we are yet to discover. And we haven't reached the end of it. We don't even know if there is an end of it. This is the vastness of God's creation. The Bible tells us that he measures it off in the span of his hands, the universe. This is how big our God is. Think about the detail of his creation. Think about what's happening in your body right now for you to be alive. You're not thinking about it, you're not conscious of it, but if any of it stopped, you would die on the spot. Think about the detail of his creation. You know, a caterpillar has something like 246 muscles in its head alone. A caterpillar. It's crazy. His creation is so detailed that with all of the telescopes and technology in the world, we've not been able to whittle it down. We've not been able to exhaust our exploration of it. This is the God that is described here. And he created everything. And this is the baby that we remember and we celebrate tonight. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He is the source of life. Colossians 1:17 tells us that in him everything holds together. He created everything, and in him everything holds together. If Jesus wasn't here, it would simply fall apart. He is life. You think about our world, think about our bodies. We are decaying and dying, every single one of us. Our universe, our world, it is decaying and dying. It's the second law of thermodynamics, and I am nowhere near smart enough to understand it or try and explain it to you. But you can Google it. It is dying. And God comes into the world, and he brings life. When God acts throughout history, whenever God acts, he introduces life. Into a world that is dying, into bodies that are dying, God brings life. This baby that we celebrate tonight, he is life. In him is life. He is the source of life. And that life is the light of men. It is our light. Philippians 2 verses 5 to 7 says this. He says, have this mind amongst yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, speaking of Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Eternal God, creator of everything, creator of the heavens and earth, the source of life, the source of light. And he empties himself. He doesn't hold on to his position of God, but instead he empties himself and he comes to earth as a man. And not just as a man, as a baby. I read a quote from a man called Nabil Qureshi. He's a Pakistani Muslim turned Christian. He died earlier this year of cancer, but he said this. He said, "When I was a Muslim, that was one of the most offensive thoughts to my mind, that God was born as a baby. That he came out the birth canal of a woman, that he needed to be cared for, fed, and cleaned by humans. And to the Muslim mind, this is one of the most offensive claims. But to the Christian mind, this has become almost normal." No, this is not normal. We should look at this and say, wow, God was willing to do that for us. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Let's talk about darkness for a minute. I was listening to the radio a couple of weeks ago, and the news came on, and the story was about what was happening in one of the Syrian refugee camps in Turkey. And what was happening is that the workers in the refugee camps, in that refugee camp, were molesting young boys and old men. Young boys as young as 10 months, and old men as old as 80. And it was widespread, from management of the camp down to the volunteers who have come in. And so I got home and I Googled it, and what I found is that this is not isolated to Turkey. This is happening in Syrian refugee camps around the world, in almost every place that there is a refugee camp, and I only Googled for Syrian refugee camps. This is happening. And it's not just men and boys. Girls are being forced into have sex with the workers in the camps. They've invited human traffickers in, and they sell these young girls, and they do it without making them leave the camps. They sell them and they bring the buyers in. And they are grooming them for prostitution. It's not just sexual abuse. There's physical abuse as well. They're forced to work for free, and if they won't work, they're beaten. And there's stories of refugees who have been killed by these beatings. There's emotional abuse as well. And this is what I found just when I Googled Syrian refugee camps. We know history has shown us that our world is we are destroying ourselves as human beings. Wars and genocides and slavery, which is still alive and well in our world today. Our world is a desperately dark place. Our world is a desperately dark place. And at times it seems overwhelming. But you know what the good news is? The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it. Amen? And we look around and we see these terrible things going on, and we know that our King is light and that the darkness will not overcome him. And this is the baby that we celebrate today, tonight. So what has he achieved? What did he achieve? This is who he is. What did he achieve? The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The true light. Have you ever been stranded in pitch blackness? Have you ever been in a place where there is absolutely no light? It's terrifying. Have you ever been in that place and then experienced the lights coming on? What did you feel? A sense of relief. Light expels fear. Light reveals our surroundings. It warns us of danger. Think of lighthouses. They are put in place to warn ships of the coast, of the rocks. Light illuminates our path. I am part of a crazy group of individuals who work at the embassy who cycle to work on most days. I don't work at the embassy. I, for some reason, choose to ride with them a couple of times a week. Because of the time that they have to be at work, they typically leave when it's still dark. A couple of weeks ago, I was riding, and my light stopped working about 5 minutes into my ride, and I was on my own. And I got onto a stretch of road where there were no street lights, but there were some big trucks coming past me, and it was terrifying. I couldn't see where the lanes were. I couldn't see where the potholes were. I couldn't see anything. It had been raining the night before. There were puddles on the ground. I couldn't see that. It was awful. But those guys who ride in every morning, every single one of them has a light on their bicycle. Why? Because they want to see where they're going. Light illuminates our path. Without it, the journey sucks in the dark. I found that out. And I didn't want to be... I just wanted to be at home in my bed. When light shines in the darkness, it brings hope. Jesus is the source of light, and he has shone in the darkness of this world. And not just that, but it says that he is the true light, which means that there are also false lights. The true light has shone. In one of the articles I read, it was an interview with the lady from one of the Syrian refugee camps who had been taken advantage of, and she said this. She said, "The very place we came for salvation became the very place where we were taken advantage of. The very place we came for salvation became the very place we were taken advantage of." She thought that that was the light. She thought that that was her light. But it was a false light. We live in a part of the world that is very well known for its spirituality and other religions. There is only one true light. It's Jesus Christ. Any other religion is a false light. This is a bold claim. But this is what we believe to be true. This is what the Bible sets forth. There are false lights in this world. Jesus is the one true light. And that light has shone on everyone. What does light do when it shines in us? The same thing it does when it shines in our world. It illuminates what is inside of us. And that is scary. Because when the light shines in us, we see that what is in us is the same darkness that is in the world around us. And this sounds a bit depressing and defeatist, but if we do not acknowledge the darkness inside of us, the celebration of Jesus coming to earth is meaningless. If there is no darkness inside of us, we do not need the true light. But the truth is that as that light shines inside of us, we see that we too are desperately dark. And that light has shone on everyone. He says that he came to the world, and the world did not receive him. The world was made through him, and yet it did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. The truth is, when the light shines in us and we see what's inside of us, it's very easy for us to run away, because it is hard to face up to what is truly inside of us. And so that is what happened. Jesus shone. He came to his own people, and his own people rejected him because they didn't like what it showed to be inside of them. They held on to a false light rather than holding on to the true light. But to anyone who received him, he has given the right to become children of God. What does it look like to receive him? Well, it tells us to receive him is to believe in his name. And anyone who believes in his name, he has given the right to become children of God, who are born of God. And how did he accomplish this? Let's go back to Philippians 2. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Creator of the universe humbled himself in obedience to death. Therefore, God has exalted him, has highly exalted him, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. This is the baby that we remember and celebrate tonight. This is how he accomplished it. He gave up his position as God. He humbled himself. And he was obedient to death, even death on the cross. And because of this, God has exalted him and given him the name that is above every name. And the day is coming when every single person in heaven, on earth, and under the earth will know that Jesus Christ is Lord. The baby that we celebrate tonight is Lord. My plea to you tonight is make that affirmation now. Because if not now, it will be too late. Every single person will acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. So the question is, do you believe that? Because that is what receiving him means. At a time when we give gifts, God has given us a gift. It's Jesus Christ. We have the choice to receive him or not. Receiving him is believing in his name. If you believe in his name, two things happen. Number one, we become sons and daughters of the Most High God. This is an assurance of eternity in heaven. And number two, the Holy Spirit permanently indwells us. And that is the power with which we live this life on earth. If you receive him, you're assured eternity in heaven. And you are given the Holy Spirit, which is the power that we live this life on earth. We read from Galatians 4 earlier on. I'm going to read a little bit further. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Amen? And John sums it up in verse 14 like this. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This baby we remember and celebrate tonight is the eternal God. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He is the source of life, he is the source of light, and he holds everything together. He has made a way for us to be adopted as sons and daughters. He has given us the power with which we can walk upright in this life, and that we can conquer in this life. This baby we celebrate tonight is God. This is the God we sang about, that we said that we adore. This picture is adorable. He is the only one worth our adoration. I started with two questions. Should we adore Jesus? And the question of should we adore Jesus is really a question of belief. Do you believe this to be true? And if you believe it to be true, there really is no question. Yes, we should adore Jesus. And my second question is this: will you adore Jesus? As we remember his sacrifice, as we remember him coming to earth tonight, the question is this: will you adore him? And if your answer is yes, then know this, that adore, much like love, is a verb and requires action. We choose every day if we're going to adore him or not. Will you adore him? Will you choose to pursue him? This picture is adorable. This is not Christmas, this is Easter, but this is what gives meaning to Christmas. This is what gives meaning to God coming to this earth. This picture, in the true sense of the word, is adorable. So this Christmas, tomorrow, don't let gifts take the priority in your life and in your family. Don't let the food and the holidays and everything else that comes with it, don't let that take the place of priority in your lives. But let this baby take that place of priority in your life. Let's pray. Father God, you are truly adorable. And we mean that in, I mean that in the greatest sense of the word, that you are to be adored. You are the only one worthy of our adoration. And Father God, I pray that tonight you would fill us with your Spirit, Father, that you would bring life, that you would bring light, that we would see you for the God that you are. This baby born in a manger, powerless, is in fact the all-powerful Creator of the universe, our Creator, our God, our Savior. You are beautiful. Your love is beautiful. Father, may that be the strongest truth in our life. May that be the position from which we live every single day. This is what your love demands, and nothing less. And Father, may that be the truth of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.